Praise the Lord. Message number 68. The title of the message, The Hypocrisy of the Church. Let's open our Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. And let us read verse 11 to verse 26. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is, as you say," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us, Lord. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Bless this time and use it mightily, O God. Let your word bring clarity and understanding and wisdom in the life of your church and life of your people. Let be cleansing for your church, O God. Let be understanding and wisdom and discernment, O God, and commitment unto you, O Lord, not to compromise but to stand firm, not fearing men but fearing you, O God, and walking faithfully in your ways. Lord, I pray that whatever the purpose of sending this message, I pray it shall be accomplished in the name of Jesus, and it will bring to you the fruit that you desire to see in our life. I pray that through this message you will use it, Lord, to bring justice and people will get their right. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Master. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. At the beginning of Matthew chapter 27, the first verse, it is written, early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. Then the question here, if they had reached that decision and they had been agreed that they need to put Jesus to death, then why they need to go and bring him to Pilate? They already had decided. Why they need to go to the governor to put him to death? They went there because they want someone to approve what they are doing. They want somebody to have a cover for the wrongdoing that they had decided to do. Many people nowadays, they will use the authorities of the government to approve the wrongdoing that the church is want to do. Many people, when they speak about marriage of homosexual, they will say that the government approve or the nation approve it and the rules approve it, and the church use these things to push its false teaching. Many, they approve divorce and remarriage, and they will use the government to push for this agenda. They know it is against the word of God, but on paper everything is correct. There is divorce, there is annulment, there is separation, all on paper. And on paper also there is remarriage contract or marriage contract. So on paperwork is everything correct. But in front of God and His Word, everything is corrupted. So here, why they brought him to Pilate, because they want somebody to approve their wrongdoing, and they will use it as a cover, as an umbrella for them. So they brought Jesus to Pilate, and all the formalities going on. Court had been held. There was charges, witnesses, and people accusation on them. On him. And Pilate, he knew very well that he is innocent. In verse 18, the word of God said, "For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him." He knew very well that he did not do anything, he is innocent. He knew very well that out of jealousy, out of envy, the high priest is jealous of Jesus, because the people are with the Lord and they are happy with the thing that he is doing. So he was afraid that his position will be taken away. It's not about that Jesus blasphemed God or did something wrong. No, it is only about a personal matter. And Pilate very well, he knew that. So what for he will held the court and all these formalities? These formalities because he want to cover up himself. He cannot say to the high priest, "Because you are jealous and this man is innocent, so that I am freeing him and I am releasing him." He cannot say that because he was afraid from the crowd. What we learn from these things? We need to be a people who discern. A people, when we face with a problem, with a situation, we need to discern. What is the motive? What is the real motive of the people? Why they are bringing this story or that situation in front of us? As a church, we should have discernment. We should discern what is good from evil. We should discern the real motive of the people before we take any decision. And also, as a church, we must find out what is the sin that the people, they tried to hide. What was the sin in that whole situation? The sin was a jealousy. It's not that a blasphemy or somebody who's doing something against the people or against God. No, it is only envy and jealousy against the Lord. Pilate, he recognized the motive and he recognized the sin, but he was compromising. He was compromising because he wanted the favor of the people, the favor of the crowd, the favor of the leaders of the community. And that is where the church sometimes fail. They want to please the people. They want to please the authorities. They want to please those who have power. They want to please those who have money. But on the behalf of the weak, the oppressed, the innocent people, and that is a sin. We will read some of the scriptures that encourage us to discern what is good and to be refrained from evil. Let's read 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5 and verse 21 and verse 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 and verse 22. Test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. Test everything, check what is that situation is, hold on what is good. When you find something good, you hold on it. Something evil, avoid it and refrain from it. Don't stand and go along wicked people. Let us read also Romans chapter 16. And let us read verse 19. Paul said to the Romans church, everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. So here, you must be wise to know what is good. And when you know it, you should refrain and go away from evil. Don't approve it. And don't support anything wrong. Don't support the crowd, the evildoers, when they want to do their own evil desires and ways. Don't be afraid from them. Book of Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2 and 3, the word of God say, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd, and do not show favoritism to a poor man in his lawsuit. He say, don't pervert justice, don't go along the crowd to satisfy them and to make the people happy with you. Many they want the people to be happy with them. And what will be the outcome? When there's a poor people, they will be oppressed on the behalf of supporting and encouraging evildoers to suppress them more and to take advantage and abuse them. And that's what happened with the Lord. Pilate, he knew very well that the crowd are wrong and the high priest is at wrong and at fault, but you stood with them. The majority is not correct. Some people, they say all the majority, they agree. Even the majority agree, it is not right. It is not correct. Here the majority wants the Lord to be crucified, but he was, and we know he is an innocent man. Paul, he told also Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22. He say, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands. Don't agree quickly what he say, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. People, they do wrong, they want you to agree with them, condone with them. Don't be people pleaser, please. You know very well that is sin, and you know also the wrong things inside, and you know very well what is the real motive. So please, not that you want the people to be happy with you and you approve what they are doing. With your approval, you are harming many other innocent people. In addition, you are giving a wrong testimony about Christ and about God and about the church. When the church perverts justice and church condones sin, that will bring wrong picture about Christianity. Many churches, when somebody he have a divorce paper, easily they approve for him to go for remarriage again, because they say he has no family and he has no wife and she has no husband. But that is not the word of God. We need to go deep and clarify each and every case. I come to know a few years ago a man who have four children from four women. I invited him to the Lord, and we start to counsel him as a church. We found out that he's a father of four children from four women. But we discover also that with the first woman, there is a paper of marriage. So we find the wife, the real wife, the first woman, the wife. So we start to work it out with him that he will united with his wife. They will live together again. He quit. He was not willing to follow the will of God or the word of God. We reached him again, and we took him out from the sin of adultery, and he came back to the Lord. And then once again he ran away. After a few years, and all of a sudden one day, I find this man in a new place of work. And when I saw him, I was so amazed. And happy also to meet him. I greet him, and how are you? Is this your new workplace? He said, yes, and my wife is with me. And then I tell him, and I name his wife that I know he's married. I say, she's with you? And I told the name of the wife. He told me, no, this is a new one. And I asked him, how about your real wife? He said, no, we make an annulment. Everything on paper now, correct. Now, this is the new wife. We have marriage contract. Everything correct on paper. This is the new start. He told me this is the new start. Who approved this? Authorities. Government authorities and church authorities. Like Pilate. They know already the truth. They know he's adulterer. But they approve him, siding with the crowd, because that is the business. That is how getting customers now. If we will say to everyone that is sin, then how people will come to church? How we can live? And because now the church is becoming a business. The more you make the people happy, the more the income of the church and the revenue of the church will be more. But we don't know that we are crucifying the Lord all over again. They don't know that they are crucifying the Lord all over again. And that is the sin of the church. And that is the hypocrisy of the church now a day. You know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, you say in verse 6, if they fall away to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Those who do such things keep on sinning, they are crucifying. They are re-crucifying or keep crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. And when the church condone and agree with their sin, the church also crucifying the Lord all over again. The same Hebrew chapter 10 and verse 29, he say, how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God under foot, who has treated us unholy? Think the blood of the covenant that sanctify him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace. Verse 30 and verse 31, for we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The point here, those who sin, they know it is sin. They are trampling the Son of God under foot all over again. They abuse the grace of God. They abuse the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. And he say here, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hand of the Lord. When the church condone with such kind of people and sin, and supporting them so that the people will not be upset with us. That is the sin of the body of Christ today. They are crucifying all over again the Lord Jesus Christ. The church will become a harlot when the church condone sin, and when the church fail to admonish people and teach them the right way. Pilate, he did his part. Oh yeah, he tried his best. He tried his best to satisfy the crowd. He tried his best that to save the Lord, but I should not make the crowd upset with me. That's what he was keen to keep. It's no problem that the Lord will be crucified as long as the people, the crowd, they will be happy with the governor. Because if the crowd will not be happy with Pilate, that will affect his position. And we will see later on in other scriptures. So when he tried to release the Lord, he told them in Matthew chapter 27 verse 50, say here, now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. So what was the custom? Whatever the crowd choose, any prisoner, whether bad or good, no problem. That is their choice. What they choose, we have to do for them to make them happy. And that's here now the church. Churches nowadays, the people should be happy. Those who give tithes, they should be happy. Those who are raised in the church, they should be happy, because if they'll get upset, who will support the work of God and who will support the church and how we can collect their finances if they are upset? Now here the hypocrisy of the church. People pleasers, not God pleasers. What you say here in Matthew 27:15, Any prisoner chosen by the crowd, even if he's very bad, as long that they choose him to be released, we have to make them happy. In verse 16, at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So, when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked him, which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ? He is notorious. But that is, does not matter. As long that the people will be happy, he can be released and the Lord can be crucified. He tried his best to release the Lord, to relieve him. And that's what hypocrisy and formalities and politics and manipulation. People in authority, they will do their best to let justice go well, but not on the cost of making the crowd upset. If the crowd is upset, we should not go and proceed with justice. We try our best. If they are not happy with the truth, we should comply with them. And that is the sin of the church. And that's what Pilate did. What he did, while Pilate was sitting on the just seat in verse 19, his wife sent him this message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. The Holy Spirit here is sending him a message. A dream is sent by the Holy Spirit. So in front of Pilate, Jesus, the living Word of God, in front of the church, the Word of God, we know the truth already. Then the Holy Spirit will convict us, send us dream and vision, the thing that we need to follow and do. So, what is ahead of us? We will compromise? By no way. By no way. We tell to sin is sin. We tell to those who do wrong, we tell them their sin, we face them face by face. There's no fear. You know, when you open Oxford Dictionary, it defines you, the terms correctly. Then why the church cannot define sin to sinner and those who abuse the grace of God? Why do the church need to put chocolate and ice cream over the people's sin to please them? Some people, they say you have to speak the truth in love. Yes, we have to speak the truth in love, but sin should be defined clearly. We have to determine and we have to define the sin clearly to the people so they know how to repent. Otherwise, devil is taking advantage of their life and bring them to hell. To hell. In verse 24, what Pilate did. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead of an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. Now, he know the truth, Pilate. What he need to do? In short, he speak directly to the high priest, because you are jealous of him, that's why you bring him for me. He's innocent and I am releasing him. I don't need to take the opinion of the crowd. But we know very well he was afraid from the crowd. So what he did, he washed his hands in front of the crowd. This message, how I receive it? As the event of the Good Friday that we celebrate as a church, remembering the day that our Lord had been crucified, I pray to the Lord to give me a message. And the Lord inspired me with the Holy Spirit, and he gave me the scene of Pilate washing his hands. That is the word that came. He washed his hand. And I tried to say the message. And it says in the scripture about washing the hands. From where it came, washing of the hand. Let us read book of Deuteronomy chapter 21. In the Old Testament, the washing of the hands is also recommended in certain circumstances. In which circumstances, when there's a murder and somebody dead but they don't know who killed him, there's a procedure they need to follow. And we as a priest, as a leaders, not only me, everyone who hear the message, you are called to be high priest. You are a royal nation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood to the Lord, a chosen people, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So as you are a royal priest, you are called to do the will of God. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 21, and let us read from verse 1 to verse 7. If a man is found slain lying in a field in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess, and it is not known who killed him, your elders and judges, here the elders and the judges, shall go out and measure the distance from the body to the neighboring towns. Then the elders of the town nearest the body shall take a heifer that has never been walked and has never worn a yoke, and lead her down to a valley that has not been plowed or planted, and where there is a flowing stream. There in the valley they are to break the heifer's neck. Verse 5, the priest, the son of Levi, here the responsibility of the priest, shall step forward to take the responsibility. The son of Levi shall step forward, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister and to pronounce a blessing in the name of the Lord and to decide all cases of dispute and assault. Verse 6, then all the elders of the town nearest the body shall wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley, and they shall declare, what they shall declare, our hands did not shed this blood, nor did our eyes seen it done. Now hear the point. Which time they wash their hand when they don't know who do it, and they are not the one who have done this. But what Pilate did, he knew who is at fault. He knew the sin. He knew the wrong motive of the high priest and the crowd. Still, he washed his hand. That is a real hypocrisy. The church should take the responsibility never to compromise. When the church does not know really the who did the wrong things, no, that is the time they say that really we don't know. But when the church know, they cannot wash their hand. Washing of the hands is not applicable when the church know the sin and know the one who did the wrong things and kept it quiet. They are just behaving like Pilate behave. They are behaving like an unbeliever person. I said clearly, when the church know the one who do the sin, who did the sin, and still keep quiet, the church behaving like a non-believer. And that is the sin of the church today. Compromises is so prevalent in the body of Christ. No one will want to take the stand and take the responsibility to face sin. The fear of men should not be there. A message is a warning for us, warning for you who listen, who receive this message, is a warning for you. You must know very well. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 25. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Don't be afraid of people. If you're afraid from people, this is the snare for you. You will not be a blessed. You will be trapped. My people fear. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. The Lord say, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. That is here the point. Clearly, you should fear the Lord. In Mark chapter 15, the events that had accompanied Jesus' court in front of Pilate is also mentioned in Mark 15. In verse 15, it say, wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. He want to satisfy the people. People should be happy. People a pleaser. You cannot make it into the kingdom of God if you will please people. You have to please God. Luke chapter 23. Moving to Luke chapter 23. The same events of the Lord trial in front of Pilate. Verse 5. What are the chief priests' accusation against the Lord? More. In verse 5, he say, I read verse 4 and verse 5. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, I find no basis for a charge against this man. But they insisted he stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and he come all over the way here. So what was their problem? His teaching. They were not happy with the teaching that point out sin. And people, when you start to speak about sin, they will start to make fuss, try to make a problem, try to accuse or try to get rid of the person who speak the truth. But the bottom line is that they don't like to accept the teaching. And let us see here more of the hypocrisy of Pilate. Let's go read verse 6 onward. On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. So here, he want to escape the responsibility to judge about it. Not that because he want to follow the rules, because he's from Galilee, Herod should be the one to judge. No, it is that, it is just, he does not want to do what he need to do. He need to release him, but if he will release him, the crowd will be upset. So he want to put that on Herod. When Herod saw Jesus, verse 8, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. Why he want to see him? From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. He want to see miracle. Many people, they will come to church and they will come to the worship. They want to see the miracles, and they will move from meeting to meeting, from church to church. They will hear somebody come and preaching, a man of God. They will move just to see miracle. In verse 9, he plied him with many questions. He asked him many questions, but Jesus gave no answer. Why Jesus gave no answer? He was asking many questions. What for? What for he was asking question? He want to believe? No. He just want to know. And that many people, like Herod, they just want to see miracle. They will ask many questions also. But Jesus did not answer here. You be careful. You don't need to answer people who want to know only, but they don't want to follow. You must be discerning. Those who does not like to follow, less word of God with them. Pray more in your spirit and avoid answering them as the Lord did. John chapter 18, we will read from book of John also about this trial before Pilate. And verse 36 to verse 38. Jesus said, my kingdom, he is speaking to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servant would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then? Said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth, listen to me. You see here now, Jesus saying about the truth. What was the answer of Pilate? Verse 38. What is the truth? Pilate asked. What is the truth? Pilate asked. With this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. Now, here what we want to emphasize here, the statement of Pilate. What is the truth? We are not here about the truth. Some leaders and some churches is no more about the truth. No one is following the truth now, they will tell you. We want to live. This is church, coming to sing, coming to preach. We know that the one who is preaching is not following also. When we also preach, we are not following. But that is, we are just performing. What is the truth? What is the truth? Don't speak about that. We know the truth. We know the Bible. But practically no one is following. That is the hypocrisy of the church nowadays. Today, the church is behaving like Pilate. What more? John chapter 19. And we will read it from verse 12. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jews kept shouting, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Oh, now becoming very big issue. Why he is afraid now from the crowd? Now very clear what they say. If you let him go, you are not a friend of Caesar. We will trouble you, we'll go to higher than you, and we will harm you. You will lose your job, you will lose your future. What they told him is in verse 12, anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. Now you are supporting somebody who is against Caesar. What do you think about it now? If you will not comply with us, we will twist your arm in this way. And that's not here the politics. Here the politics and manipulation and hypocrisy in the churches. Power. If you will not abide with us, yes, we are speaking about the truth. The truth is there. But we have to follow our agenda. But that is not the church that God wants to be. God wants his church to stand firm. People go to Caesar, they go right and left. Whatever they want to do, let them do. But we will follow the word of God. When Pilate heard this, verse 13, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the just seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. there he washed his hand. He washed his hand because now it's about losing my job and my future, and I am stable and stabilized. Why I should come out from all this pleasure and leisure? And that's here many church leaders, Catholic, traditional churches leaders, they know the truth about saint worship is sin. They know the truth about the compromises of their own church and the false teaching and the doctrine. They know all about it. But the crowd like that. The system is corrupted. They like that. And we are enjoying that corruption because we are getting privilege. We are getting position. We are getting finances. We are getting allowances and accommodation and all this privilege we are getting. If we stand for the truth, we will lose that. When Pilate hear this, he say, no way, I will lose these privileges. Now I need to stand firm with the crowd, not with the Lord. Verse 14, it was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the 6th hour. Here is your king, Pilate said to the Jews, take him. But they shouted, take him away, take him away, crucify him. Shall I crucify your kings? Pilate asked. What they answer, we have no king but Caesar. The chief priest answer. The chief priest, he say, the chief priests, they say, we have no king but Caesar. Who is the king of the Jews? God. Who is our king? The Lord. When they say we have no king but Caesar, it means that we don't believe in God. When it's coming to the life and reality, want to do our own. God can be aside. And that's what they say. And that's what the great apostasy of the Jews. And that is the great apostasy of the church. When the church will not stand firm on the word of God. When the church will be led by people with the wrong motive, thieves, jealous people, envious, evildoers, who will do the wrong things in order to push forward their agenda. They say, we have no king but Caesar. The chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. Who is the non-believer? Pilate or the chief priest? Both of them are non-believer. If the church compromise, if the church support people who do sin because they are powerful, those church leaders are like Pilate, they are non-believer. They brought the Lord to Caesar early in the morning. Possibly they woke him up and we have read how he try to do right as well as to satisfy the crowd. He tried his best to release the Lord as well as to satisfy the crowd. He realized he cannot do both of them. So what he choose? He choose to condemn the innocent and acquit the guilty. And that's what he did. In Proverbs chapter 17 verse 15, the church was there and the church, the crowd support acquitting the guilty. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 15, acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both. God does not want us to do that. In book of Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 1, when men have a dispute, they are to take it to court, and the judges will decide the case, acquitting the innocent and condemning the guilty. In the Old Testament, the court is the church, and the leaders, they are the Levites, the judges, the priests. They are the one to decide the case, acquitting the innocent and condemning the guilty. The church should do that. Pilate failed to do that because he was a prejudice. The church sometimes do that, but we should not be in such a trap. It is a trap of devil when we condemn the innocent and acquit the guilty. Pilate, in his famous word in Matthew 27, his famous question to the crowd in verse 22, he told the crowd, "What? What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" That is the question. And also in Mark chapter 15, verse 12, "What shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews?" What shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do with Jesus? And here is the question. What shall I do with Jesus? If I stand firm, shall Jesus can help me? Can Jesus support me? Can Jesus protect me? Can Jesus provide for me? Can Jesus sustain me if I lose my position? What shall I do with Jesus? That's here the question. The Holy Spirit put this question in front of you and in front of me, in front of the church. What shall we do with Jesus? He's in front of Pilate. He's in front of us. The Holy Spirit is convicting us, is convicting the church, is convicting Pilate, the chief priest, with the dream that the wife of Pilate saw. This man is innocent. The Holy Spirit is working, the living Word of God in front of us, the Word of God in the Bible that we know is in front of us. What shall we do with Jesus? Shall we crucify him all over again? No way. No way. We need to receive him as Savior and Lord. You need to receive him as Savior and Lord. You should not compromise. You should fear him and obey him. You should honor his word and his ways. Trust him. Stand firm and trust him in faith. He can protect you. He can provide for you. The fear of the man is a snare, but those who trust in the Lord, they will be blessed. Serve him and live your life unto him. Don't do and behave like the crowd, like the Pharisees, like the teachers of the law, like the chief priests, like Pilate. Don't say, "What shall I do with Jesus?" He said in a way that, "What I will do with him now? He cannot help me. He cannot even help himself. Why I should trust him?" No. We should trust the Lord. He can help us. He is the wounded healer. He can provide for us. He is our deliverer. Acknowledge him as Savior and Lord over your life. Fear him. Obey him. Trust him fully. Honor his word. Let his word above all the people, above the crowd. Be God's pleaser, not people pleaser, and he will reward you. Let's come to the Lord. Let us repent as a church. Let each and every one of you who listen to the message repent. By no way as a church should compromise. Lord, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, as you make it clear from your word, the sin of the church, the hypocrisy of the church in condemning the innocent and acquitting the guilty, Lord, we repent. We repent this very day. Oh God, Lord, give me the strength and the courage and the boldness to say no to sin and to face those who are doing wrong. Help me, Lord, to have discernment, to see the wrong motive and to see the sin that the people try to hide. Help me, Lord, to stand firm and say no to them. Uphold me with your grace. I trust you, O God. I go forward, standing firm, to give the right verdict in thy presence. You protect me and you help me. Lord, I pray the message will be a blessing to your people and to your church, and many will take the stand to stand firm and to say the truth and not to go along the crowd and agree with their wrongdoing and condoning their sin. Lord, I pray for your grace and protection upon each and every one who is going to stand firm and he is opposed by the crowd or by the work of the devil. You help, you support, give the right word, give the right message. Lead him with your wisdom to do the right thing so that your will be done and he will be Lord. Escape from the trap of devil and the evil doer. We thank you and we bless you, Lord. Lord, let the message that you sent shall accomplish your desire and bring you the fruit that you want to see in your people and your church life. Bless us, Lord. Enlarge our territory. Let your hands be with us and keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Christ's name, amen and amen.